You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Hello News, I'm Harley Martin. Loblaws has issued a recall after health officials found Chronobacter in a President's Choice baby formula. Chronobacter can cause fatal infections in toddlers. There have been no illnesses linked to the recall of President's Choice lower iron milk formula in the 900-gram size. Health officials say anyone who bought the mix should throw it away. Nova Scotia Liberal candidate Jamie Batiste is apologizing after racist and sexist social media posts were uncovered. In 2012, the candidate tweeted, quote, "Why do I assume every skinny Aboriginal girl is on crystal meth or pills?" End quote. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says the tweet was unacceptable, but he will not be removing Batiste from the party. Two protesters in Hong Kong were the first to feel the effects of Hong Kong's new mask ban over the weekend. The new law came into effect on Saturday and is the latest attempt to break up protests which have entered their fourth month. The two detained were an 18-year-old student and a 38-year-old woman, each face up to a year in prison. To hear the news or learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Talento, fortuna, esperienza, impegno, costanza, coerenza, tra genio e follia c'è poca differenza, hanno lo stesso punto di partenza. Ma se sei solo e ti perdi e non va come vorresti tu, non c'è un navigatore né un tutorial su YouTube. È bello se ti riconoscono, è bello se vai in TV, ma è meno bello quando sei tu che non ti riconosci più.
E Dybala. And Dybala to driving. Sarri took a risk and it has paid off 4 minutes in.
La ola ti cantano un coro, la vittoria è una cosa di squadra, ma se perdi, perdi da solo. Per ogni ballerina che ha male i piedi e si medica, per ogni calciatore che risparmia per le scarpe nuove, ogni studente che non mangia si dimentica, o musicista che anche da stanco va in sala prove, per ogni sportivo.
Invite has to ball again, goalkeeper couldn't get there. Zapata does, and Atalanta are ahead through their top scorer. Fitting maybe that he scores Atalanta's first ever goal in the Champions League.
È nulla è impossibile se credi in quello che fai.
Se credi in quello che fai.
È chi ci crede, è chi è che ha fede, è chi riesce a vincere anche senza te. Nulla è impossibile se credi in quello che fai.
Se credi in quello che fai.
È chi ci crede, chi è che ha fede, è chi riesce a vincere anche senza te.
Il mondo cambia. And now, maybe one final chance for Genoa to salvage a point from this most dramatic of encounters. Genoa, oh, and Reina saves the day!
Un'idea stupida, se sei te che ci metti la faccia. Chi dice che non ce la fai lo fa perché lui non ce l'ha fatta. Vorrebbero che pure te facessi come hanno fatto loro. Ma se non lavori il tuo sogno non sarà mai il tuo lavoro. Per quella ballerina che adesso balla in teatro, il calciatore che ora gioca nella sua squadra del cuore. Per ogni studente che ancora non ha mollato e trova la forza nelle parole di quella canzone. Ce n'è un milione che non abbandona e tenta ancora, che si convince che questa volta è la volta buona. Se ce n'è uno che vince possiamo farlo tutti. Il tuo sudore è la tua occasione, che fai la butti. Nulla è impossibile se credi in quello che fai.
Se credi in quello che fai.
Chi ci crede, chi è che ha fede, è chi riesce a vincere anche se.
Any day in which Juventus is on top of the standings,
oh God,
in the Serie A,
I'm all alone for this.
It's a good day. I did that on purpose.
I know. You should celebrate. It was a very big win for you guys. I have to give credit to Juventus. They dominated. It was a great game, but their offensive chances were beautiful.
Yeah, they made Inter look like Inter of old.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I like the fact how they utilized their wingers to kind of, like, they were kind of cheating the offside line a bit, and they were forcing all the defenders back. But they would give it to the winger, but the winger would give it back to the center right away. and kind of throw them off a bit, and it, because that open space was down the middle. If you notice Juve's chances, they're all driven down the middle, besides Dybala's goal, which was just like a wide, like he beat them with his speed, essentially, and he got it in.
Well, I mean, for a team like Inter, with playing a 3-5-2 with two wing backs like that, it's going to be hard to beat them out wide here on the Calcio guys, by the way.
Yes.
Gianni Del Colli, I'm Nicolas Di Giovanni. Adriano is late, probably because of the mess that Milan is in.
Or probably because of the mess that the STM is.
Well, I don't know what's more of a mess. I'm going to ask him later. What's more of a mess, the STM or Milan?
Yeah.
But...
We'll talk about AC when he gets here. Let him
exactly.
have his piece.
That's why we're starting with this. And, you know, 2 years ago, April, yeah. I think it was April 29th, if I'm not mistaken.
There he is.
2018. This is how Inter Juve finished.
Da fischia orsato, Dybala batte, il calcio di punizione, cerca un colpo di testa, Higuain! Gonzalo, Higuain, a 1.5 dal 90esimo, la contro, rimonta della Juventus, che il primo posto non lo vuole proprio mollare.
Already, that was a fantastic finish for Juventus fans, pretty much securing them the title. The next day, Napoli, you know what Napoli did?
Yes.
Fiorentina, they lost 3-0, and then this time around.
Forward by Pjanic, laid off from Ronaldo. It's Higuain to put Juve back in front off the bench.
So after the hot start to the season for Inter, finally we see a chink in the armor. They lose to Barcelona.
Yep.
Probably the best team in Europe. You could argue that. You could argue that.
I guess you can.
And then lose to another top team in Europe, probably top five team, Juventus.
Oh, yeah, that I could agree with.
But I think for Inter, it's just a matter of getting used to these big games under this Conte system.
Yeah, probably. And plus, don't forget, it's a lot of new faces in Inter. It's a squad that they're not used to playing with each other yet in these big competitions, so the brotherhood is not built yet. But I won't expect it this long. I won't expect this growing pain to be long type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the Champions League game, I mean, I think it's the experience of Barcelona in that competition with the players that they have. They're all pretty much world-class or close to that. So it comes down to depth and because I think Conte and I think who's it, Valverde they have over there is probably, I mean, you could flip a coin of who's better there. But I think in terms of experience, in terms of depth, in terms of maybe a bit of tactics in that competition with the teams that they have at their disposal, kind of triumphed for Barcelona over Inter there. But, I mean, the game over the weekend against Juve, I mean, I think it was a game that, you know, everybody had their eyes on, and I think it delivered in the end. I mean, the Inter fans got the short end of the stick, but I think in terms of an overall game, like how it went, it was fun to watch.
So... before we get into the bigger of the coach firings over the weekend, remember I told you guys last week I wouldn't be surprised if a few coaches got fired this weekend heading into the international break. I wasn't wrong.
And I said that Di Francesco was going to get fired.
Exactly, and that's exactly what happened after this loss at Verona.
Filosa with the corner, and it's attacked and finished. Verona in front, as simple as that, on 8 minutes. The woes continue for Di Francesco.
So Di Francesco out in Sampdoria. They haven't named the replacement yet, but I mean, not surprising.
No, I think we all collectively said that out of all the coaches down there, Di Francesco would probably be the first one, if not one of them, out. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, what a disappointing start to the season for Samp, a team that I think can compete middle of the pack. I don't think maybe Europe yet or... hopefully not relegation, but the way they're going, it seems like they're going down that path. But I think I'm never a big fan of like firing coaches like right early on. But I mean, I think some sort of change in the system had to happen. They have a bit of ownership issues as well. I mean, Ferraro was trying to get rid of trying to sell the team, and Vialli was supposed to come in, whatever, and there was a whole mess with that. But and that kind of maybe leaks into maybe the coaching. Di Francesco, I mean, say what you want. I think he's a decent coach. I thought he would be a coach for Samp after we saw what he did at Roma, but it seems like that wasn't the case. Nobody was performing from I think from top to bottom, and the this like the play on the field was terrible. So, I mean, not surprising for Di Francesco, but I think it was something that was expected.
Side question.
Yeah.
If Sampdoria were to be relegated down to Serie B,
yeah,
does a player like Quagliarella, sorry, I have a gum in my mouth, jump ship or does he retire? What do you guys think?
Rule number one of radio.
Yeah, don't chew gum while on the air.
I mean, that's a good question. I think where he is at in his career, I mean, we all know he's not getting any younger.
No, I would hope he leaves.
I would hope he stays, to be honest with you. Maybe, you know, Tries to get him back up there. I think if he goes, they're going to have a pretty big rebuild. I know they're kind of banking on an older player there in Quagliarella, but I think he is Samp over these past few years. You speak of Samp, you speak of Fabio. So I don't know. It would be sad to see him go, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised either. But if he stays and brings them back, I think the story would be even sweeter.
Okay, last week we also talked about coaches coaching their rival teams from when they were players or from past coaching experience.
Yeah.
About Conte at Inter, Sarri at Juventus. Add another one to the list now, Adriano. Gianpaolo out in Milan. Ex-Inter coach Stefano Pioli comes in. So we have an Inter coach at Milan, Juve player at Inter, and a Napoli coach at Juve. Yeah. On top of that, a Milan legend in Napoli, even though it's less relevant.
It's because it's a hometown guy, Sarri. Sarri was pretty much a Napolitan, joined Juve.
Think you're talking about Ancelotti?
Ancelotti. Yeah. Oh, talking about Ancelotti. I thought we were talking about Sarri. My bad.
But Gianpaolo out. The funny thing, Adriano, is that they lose 2-0 to Inter. His job is safe. They lose 2-1 to Torino. His job is safe. Yeah. They lose 3-1 to Milan. His job is safe.
They what, sir? They lose 3-1 to Milan. He coaches Milan, or used to coach Milan.
They are Milan. they beat up themselves. They lost 3-1 to Fiorentina.
Yeah,
and then they beat Genoa, and he's out.
Yeah, I mean, listen. As I said before, I'm not a big fan of the whole coaching sacking early on in the season. Like, if we break it down, it only was 7 games. I know his philosophy. From what we hear, from what we've seen in the past, it kind of takes, it's a project and it takes a while for his philosophy to take place. Obviously, him, the players, management, I think it goes from top to bottom. Nobody was cohesive, no continuity between anybody pretty much. And, you know, again, I don't like the move because I don't think a change of a coach, especially for a guy like Pioli, no knock to Pioli, but in my eyes, you're trading, you know, 4 quarters for a dollar. I would have rather kept, you know, Gianpaolo and kind of ride out the wave. But, or what we spoke about last week, we should have just kept Gattuso with the grinta that, you know, he brought. And he knows the Milan system. So, you know, not surprising because I feel like that's just, you know, the way it goes in Italy. You know, coach is not doing well. You get him out the door. But, I mean, Pioli, again, no knock to Pioli. I liked what he did when he was at Fiorentina, especially with the whole Astori thing and everything. Like, I have a bit of a soft spot for that. But to bring this team to maybe a new level, I don't see it. I think we're just going to have to continue coasting. The name of Spalletti was also in the air. I mean, not a huge fan of Spalletti. I don't think he's anything, you know, fabulous. He's not on, you know, Conte or Ancelotti level. But
Spalletti's more relevant than Pioli.
Exactly. And I think he has the experience and he's been around the block. And he's brought in Inter to Champions League as well. So for that, I would have maybe preferred that. But for the whole Pioli and Gianpaolo out, as I said, 4 quarters for a dollar.
Just a quick stat, Pioli, you could even get this off Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Like 631 games coached overall in his career,
yeah.
Only 234 wins. His win percentage is 37.08%.
Yeah.
It's the kind of guy where it's like, if it's a top, like when I say elite team, like I'm talking about like in terms of history, like AC Milan, you know, like a top three in Italy for history, I want the best coach available. And Pioli, in my eyes, is not that coach.
Yeah.
And Stefano Pioli is also a coach that couldn't bring Fiorentina, a team that has players like Chiesa, like German Pizzella, like a goalie like Lafont last year. He couldn't bring them anywhere. They almost got relegated under him, although he was fired in March, I believe. Like you said, Adriano, you said it perfectly, 4 quarters for a dollar. This is not an improvement whatsoever. And, you know, you think they shouldn't have fired Gattuso. I'm going to go back and say they shouldn't have fired Mihailovic. I know that's going way back.
It's going way back.
Almost 4 years now.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was a imagine this Milan under Mihailovic.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different time. You know, you have a lot of different players in that lineup. Gigio just coming out into his own, actually just coming up into the system pretty much. He, you know, under Mihailovic, that's where he broke out and started. So, I mean, it's tough to say that now looking back, especially with the team that they had. Ownership was another thing. So obviously Mihailovic now, I would have preferred Mihailovic now. But as I said, it's not an improvement over Giampaolo.
Coming up next on the Calcio Guys, this team just continues getting hurt here on CJO 69.
I'll throw out that gum.
The Groove Masters Hour on CJLU 1690 on your AM dial every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. The Groove on your way home. 514-848-7471. Give us a call.
Excuse me. Is that your real voice?
Stop by Montreal Improv with live improvised comedy every Thursday through Sunday night. Listed as one of Cult MTL's best comedy clubs, Montreal Improv brings you a variety of unique and experimental shows featuring some of the city's funniest up-and-coming performers. You don't have to stay in the audience either. Whether you are interested in performance or trying something new, we have classes that start monthly where you can learn all the necessary skills to take you from your seat to the stage. For more information on shows and classes, visit montrealimprov.com.
You are listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Jenny.
Yes.
What happened to Napoli last week?
Oh, sorry. I thought we were going to talk about Roma. You want to talk about Napoli?
Later, Roma. You're on the Calcio Guys with Gianni Della Colli, Adriano DiNardo. I'm Nicholas Di Giovanni. I wanted to ask you, Adriano, actually.
Yeah.
30 seconds. Yeah. 30 seconds before we move away from Milan.
Yeah.
You showed up maybe 2 minutes late.
Yeah.
What's more of a mess actually, the STM or AC Milan?
As much as I don't know, I can't go against my team. I'm gonna have to say the STM here in Montreal. But, you know, Faschiva probably. But I mean, it is what it is. I think you know, we were just talking off air a bit. You know, from Milan now to Milan maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. Who's, you know, on the field? What's better? I kind of agree with Johnny, maybe now, but it starts from the management to the coach to the players and to the performance on the pitch, so everything has to be cohesive.
Okay, one team that wasn't cohesive, Napoli, 0 goals in 2 games against Genk
and Torino. So the Genk game is the one I'm really mad about. That was a game that they needed to win because in my eyes, it feels like a Red Star Belgrade all over again, where they dominate the game. And if you watch it, I think it was in the 60s in terms of possession percentage. I may be wrong on that. You can double check that stat. But
I shall.
But they dominate the whole game. Too many shots that they were almost on target, but not too much on target. Like Milik got these opportunities. Was I right on the percentage?
63.
Yeah, there we go. Like Milik got a header, hit off the top crossbar, on the floor, hits the ball. It just goes a bit above. They were finding the offense. It was just not going in. And that's been the story for Napoli as of late, where they have all these chances. It's just the ball doesn't want to find the net. And I'm disappointed in Milik because they got, because he's not like Mertens, where Mertens kind of transisted into the center forward position. Milik is a center forward striker type of thing. He is the guy that's in the middle, target man, waits for the ball, puts it in. And he's not doing that right now for the team. Yeah, you know, he has a history of injuries, but at this point, he's fully healthy. There's no excuse. He's got Callejon giving him beautiful balls. He's got Insigne on the left. He's got the players supporting him. Then you got guys like Lozano, who is a new signing, so I'll give him benefit of the doubt, but plays with his head down. He has got that Marurui type of syndrome where he just runs with the ball head down. And
Core.
Yeah, and then the Torino game, it was a bit of an exhaustive game for them, even though they like half the field was a similar team against the similar field against Genk. So I guess I will give them a little bit of a slight it was a close game, 52-48% in favor of Napoli, and both teams got 4 shots on target. So it wasn't like as if they weren't bringing the heat. It was just the Genk game is the one that pisses me off the most because you need those points.
I absolutely agree. I think what you said, it's a Red Star 2.0 in my eyes. Napoli, they need those points. Excuse me, in Champions League, if they want to advance. Last year, they shot themselves in the foot with that game, and they did beat Liverpool last year. They did beat Liverpool so far this year.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think them shooting themselves in the foot will be their downfall once again, because we all know they have the offense, but it's being clinical in front of goal in the final third that I know, you know, pays dividends later. But I would agree with you. I'm disappointed for Napoli's performance in that game because they should have gotten a result and they needed a result. For the Torino game, that's another one. I think, you know, you want to compete in Serie A. I know now the competition's a bit steeper now with not only Juve that are ahead of you. You know, Inter's in that conversation as well. But, I mean, this is year two, as we said, for Ancelotti. I'm a big Ancelotti fan. I think he is probably one of the better coaches around. And I think, you know, now year two, things should be kind of, you know, panned out. You know, there shouldn't be this you know, ghostness in the final third. You know, you can't find the back of the net, and I don't know. Maybe it's player selection. Maybe it's whatever it may be. You know, players off form, injured, whatever it is. But I mean, you know, put Llorente back in there. He was scoring all kinds of goals. But I don't know. He hasn't been in the lineup a couple games, I think.
No, for the past few games, he hasn't been in the lineup.
So, I mean, yeah. I would maybe roll the dice with him a bit more and see how far that can take you. And then, you know, integrate the other guys, like you said, Lozano, Milik, that has to be back on form. Insigne, I think, coming back to his own a bit. Mertens, in important games, he has to be there too. So, I mean, overall, I think they need to be just more cohesive and they need to be able to be more clinical.
Okay. About 10 minutes time, we're going to have Jerry Mancini join us from Toronto to talk about Lazio.
Yeah,
we're going to leave our MVPs and red cards of the week till after that interview, since we don't really have that many games to tee up this week.
Gotcha.
Just the national team. But Atalanta, Gianni, I know you have some interesting stats about Atalanta. They played the first game in the renovated Gewiss Stadium. Or Gewiss Stadium. I don't know if
G-Wiz,
I...
Gewiss, whatever.
Gewiss.
Gewiss, yeah.
I don't know if I said
G-Weiss?
It right.
Gewiss? Is it W-E-I-S-S?
Yeah, G-E-W-I-S-S.
Oh, okay. Gewiss then, I guess.
Gewiss
Stadium. Okay, because if it's W-E-I-S-S, it would be Weiss. But anyways, that's another topic.
Next on the spelling guys with Gianni Della Colli and Adriano DiNardo.
English major over here.
Okay, but the important thing is that they scored goals. Experimentation. They experimentationed with their lineup and they scored goals. G-O-A-L-S.
Yes.
G-O-A, yeah.
crazy stat, actually. AJ, I think you might want to hear this one.
Go for it.
That game, I know it's against Lecce, so take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Atalanta had 25 shot attempts, 14 were on target. 25 shot attempts. And here I am thinking, my God, is this a hockey game or something? It's they managed to get 3 goals out of that, but holy hell were they pouring it on. Possession-wise, Atalanta 62% versus 38%. It was a game that Atalanta was just showing Lecce, like, you can't hang out with the big boys. You can't sit with us type of thing. Pulling a Mean Girls on them. But yeah, 14 shots on target. I don't think I've ever seen that ever since we started and really focused and analyzing these things. I don't think I've ever saw that much of a high amount.
Fiorentina Empoli last year, I believe, when Dragowski was still with Empoli. Was it against Fiorentina?
He stood on his head there.
Yeah.
The game where he stood on his head. Yeah, there was, I think, 16-17, I think, maybe even. Maybe 15 in the 15 range, but whatever it was, you know, it is what it is. But that Atalanta game, I mean, we all know what Atalanta could do offensively. Last year, I think they were hanging... I think with Juventus, as you know, most goals scored in the league. So, and when they got a guy like Zapata, you know, leading the line over there, that he knows, as you said, he knows he's good now, and he's got that strength, and he's got, you know, that finishing ability that he does have. So, and another guy like Papu Gomez, that, you know, getting up there in age, but still being able to perform him, Ilicic too, older guys, but you know, still be able to contribute and you know, get goals, assists, whatever it may be. But as you said, it is against Lecce, so you know, take it with a grain of salt. But you know, the Atalanta has to do this against, you know, better competition, and the game against who they play, Shakhtar in Champions League.
Yeah.
We were watching it here, and they got scored on a late counter, and in like the 93rd, 94th minute, and you know, to lose the game again. I thought that was the bigger, you know, disappointment for them this past week. You know, you need those, you know, those points. You're in Champions League for the first time. You know, you have nothing to lose in my eyes for Atalanta. Go out there, play your game, and especially at home, that you said. So, oh no, sorry, did they play? No,
that was at home
at San Siro. Yeah. You know, in your home country, whatever. But
not even your home province. Not or, even. No, well, Bergamo is in Lombardy.
Yeah,
Italian geography lesson.
With the couch, you guys. but no, I think that was the more, you know, salt in the wound, I think, for Atalanta. Gasparini looked pissed. So those are the games, I think, that you got to stress on more.
So, by the way, Dragowski last year had 17 saves.
Oh, there you go.
Against Atalanta on April 15th. There was 47 shots. Shot.
Wow.
Towards the net, yeah. 18 of which were on target, or 17 of which were on target.
Well, just so imagine 47 20 shots.
You said it was 25
yeah.
on target this time,
yeah,
so at least more than last time, and at least Atalanta was able to win this game. Last game was that game against Empoli was 0-0. Spal did something we don't see too often, win with 10 men.
Yeah.
Yep.
Our boy Petagna, no?
Yeah, I mean, they scored with still 11 men. The red card on Stefetsa came later in the game.
Yeah.
Roma, I mean, another kind of like Napoli, two draws this week against Wolfsburg, the team who finished third in the Austrian Bundesliga last year.
Yeah,
1-1, and then why am I blanking?
1-1
Cagliari.
Yeah,
just
and it was an own goal too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
imagine
you would have hoped that goal on Kalinic would have counted at the end.
Yeah, but unfortunately it didn't. But
I didn't see what happened with that.
He basically pushed Pizzicane, I believe, into Olsen.
He pushed or his nose pushed him?
Kalinic pushed Pizzicane into Olsen.
Okay.
Both Pizzicane, I believe it was Pizzicane, and Olsen got hurt. And because of the push, both of the guys were taken out.
Kalinic
went in to score.
Yeah, yeah,
referee deemed it a foul. Roma wasn't happy, but regardless, they have to score on other opportunities.
I mean, like if you want to focus on the Roma Cagliari game, 8 shots on target, 18 total attempts, like the 66% possession, like you own the game. It's just, it shows that Dzeko being out for an unknown period of time is the crucial injury. Yeah, I know, like there's a whole list and I have it here: Pellegrini, Perotti, Zappacosta, Diawara, Under, Mkhitaryan. This is half of a starting lineup, you can argue. Okay, arguably maybe not with Lorenzo Pellegrini, but he has been a starter for them very often. Perotti and Under come back in a few weeks, but guys like on your back line, you get Zappacosta to help them out, but all of a sudden he's out for 5 months. You got Mkhitaryan, who's going to come back in a few weeks as well, but the key piece is Dzeko himself. He's, for the longest time, he's been that rock for Roma's offense, and if he's out, now you're going to have a hard time finding goals, and you need to find somebody to stand up to take that role, and I don't think Roma has that guy. If you look at they're lacking in the goal scoring department right now, and it's always going to be, and it's always like fortunate goals, like the goal they scored versus Wolfsburg. It was
Wolfsburg.
Spinazzola just took the header, hit off the guy, hit off his head again, and it went in the net.
Yeah, it was lucky goal.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like our friend Nando likes to make up a good point where they're like, who's the luckiest team right now besides Roma? And I can disagree with him. You know, he's saying it because he's a Laziale. I have to fully agree with the guy, because a lot of their draws that they've gotten have been because of these fortunate end game goals. And Roma right now needs to find that guy to take up Dzeko's banner. And I don't think they have anybody to do that.
I agree. I don't think they ever addressed that issue up top. Besides Dzeko, he's getting up there in age. There's nobody able to go up there and produce the way he produces. But like you said, they're unlucky. But, you know, they got, as you said, a double doink, triple doink goal in Europa League, sorry, and then an own goal by Cepitelli. Where's the offense? I mean, this team started off pretty well. Surprising under Fonseca, that I personally didn't know too much about. But I don't think they ever addressed the issue up top, besides Dzeko. And I mean, now with all the injuries, it doesn't do them any justice either. So,
just a side note about Francesca, I'm liking what he's doing with the team, though. They seem I'm a bit more confident.
I like that grinta, man.
Yeah,
I love that.
I like the fact that I feel more confident in the team this year compared to Di Francesco last year.
Yeah,
because I feel like as if he's more in control of the team. It's just right now he needs to be given a better quality squad, let's say. Mind you, he's doing what he's best, but he can with all these injuries. He's got a decent squad. He's got an above average team when everybody's healthy, but he needs more if he wants to get more from this AS Roma team.
Absolutely.
So coming up next, we're talking about the other team in Rome, Lazio, yes, with Jerry Mancini here on the Calcio Guys on CJO 1690.
Hey kids, you like heavy and hard music? Want to be part of a morbid seance? You might just want to take a listen to the kind words of Hunter, our Lord and Savior.
To find the way to the gateway to the underground, first you must listen to the Iron Club. Tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. on CGLO 1690 AM.
Welcome to the ritual.
Tired of your
radio
making you angry? Then behold!
CJLO 1690 AM.
Stick 83
genres.
Whatever you want!
Twee, Calypso, Crunk.
Whatever! Into this
radio station.
And she will melt them all together into one delicious
radio station.
Never again will you have to suffer through the bread part of your
radio station.
I give you
CJLO 1690 radio
station. Is the new bread! Uh-huh.
Castro, his Sole d'Estate song. He's a multi-talented player, singer, songwriter. Here on the Calcio Guys with Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Del Colli, I'm Nicholas Di Giovanni, and we have a special guest this week. I'm excited about this one, Jerry Mancini from the Laziale and World Football Index. Jerry, how are you? Is Jerry not there anymore? Jerry is not there anymore.
Jerry, where are you?
Jerry's not there anymore. We lost Jerry.
Tell him to call us, no?
Okay. I'm going to try calling him back.
Uh-huh.
I want you guys to rate Italy's kit.
The alternate new one?
Kit, yeah.
Yeah, we posted it on our social medias at the Calcio Guys. The whole new Renaissance feel of this new kit. It's green, got some blue in there. Crazy design in the front as well.
I like the way they modeled it, though, because you got... It's a great marketing scheme because you got this younger generation of Italians and a very diverse generation of Italians wearing these kits. And these are not like those like clear cut, clean models. Like some of the models have tattoos, have piercings. You know, it's a very modern take because if you look at the youth in Italy, they're very Americanized. You know, it's not like the typical European, the stereotypical European idea that we have in our mind. So for me, I think that marketing strategy is actually the top thing of that.
I would agree.
We should have Jerry back on the line with us. Jerry?
Yep.
Ah, there he is.
Jerry.
How are you doing?
Not too bad yourself.
Not bad.
So, Jerry, as we do with all of our guests, because we are not afraid to show our biases here on the show, obviously we know you're a Lazio fan, just want to ask you first, how did you get into Lazio and grow your passion for soccer?
Going to Lazio because my dad's from Frosinone.
Ah, there we go. That makes total sense.
Yeah, but my dad's not a Lazio fan. He's an Inter fan.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. So when I grew up, I always thought my dad was a Lazio fan when I was young. And then eventually, I realized he wasn't a Lazio fan. He was an Inter fan. But I always liked the colors of their jersey. I was always a big baby blue kind of guy. That's why I kind of grew up in liking Lazio. And plus, I never was actually from Roma. So So I just distinguished myself just being from Lazio.
Yeah, and the jerseys themselves are actually, you know, I'll say it as a Romanista, Lazio's jerseys are very nice. I actually like the whole like contrast they had last year going with the baby blue and the dark blue jersey. Speaking of like recent Lazio, how did you feel about the performance versus Bologna this week?
Let down, to be honest. They should have won the game, but you can also think vice versa, that they could have actually lost the game as well. It was a very exciting match. Unfortunate that they didn't capitalize on the penalty shot, but a penalty shot can go 50-50. So you can credit that Correa shouldn't have taken the shot. Could have been Luis Alberto or Savage, but at the same time, who's to say that they would have scored either? But the only choice I would have left Ciro Immobile on, and I would have elected to take off Luis Alberto. But who knows if that were to happen, if Correa would have played the same way with Immobile and Correa up front still, right?
Yeah.
So, unfortunate result, but could have been worse, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's all kinds of inconsistencies sometimes with this Lazio team. One player in particular, when he's on, he's really on, and when he's off, we don't see him at all. Ciro Immobile, a guy that can score, I think, all kinds in the league, but once he puts on that Nazionale jersey, it's a kind of a different story. What do you make of his inconsistencies? Because we all know he's a talented player. He's a good Italian striker. What do you make of his inconsistencies from league play to maybe international duty?
I think with playing with Lazio, there's less pressure. They're not that Inter Juventus type of team where a lot is expected from yourself.
Yeah.
When you play for Lazio, the expectations are less. They're not a club that has high expectations. I think this is maybe the first season where the expectations have been greater because Simone Inzaghi demanded what he wanted in the summer and gave them an ultimatum. Either you accept my offer of we start becoming more competitive, or else I'm out and I'm going somewhere else. So Lotito, eventually with Tade, agreed to sign him and knew that, now, if I have this coach leaving, who am I going to sign? He's not going to go sign a Gianpaolo or someone more expensive. So that's the scenario, in my opinion. But with Ciro Immobile, I think when he puts on the Italian jersey, it's a little bit more pressure for him. More is expected of him. The talent is much greater. The competition is stronger. It's more worldwide. I think it's just another level. Or it just may be in the back of his head that he's unable to score as he does with Lazio. And he's very accustomed to his surroundings. He's been playing with the same team for 4 years now, and he's very accustomed to it. So that could be a benefit for him. Whereas playing with Italy, maybe it's a different style that doesn't suit him. Whereas, like, see how Belotti, it works for him perfect. But to compare and contrast the two, I think that Belotti deserves to be the number nine over Immobile. He's just, I think his talent is just much better. But I think what gets Ciro Immobile to that next level is his work ethic that really helps him.
So speaking about Simone Inzaghi, it's now his fourth season as Lazio head coach, fifth if you count the end of the season in 2016. Obviously, he's a very energetic coach on the sideline. How have you seen this team kind of grow into his style of play the past few years?
I just believe that they've bought into his system and that they've adapted to it. The fact that he's been able to keep the same team for 4 years now, and every year when they add players, it's players not just for the sake of just buying players. A guy like Correa has came in and adapted to the 3-5-2. They brought in a Cherby to replace Fry last year. He's done a really good job in the back end, in the center back position. So I think that Tadi and Zaghi together have worked hand in hand, complimenting him with the players that he needs to suit his formation, while Inzaghi has delivered very good results, in my opinion, because that squad is not, it's not like an Inter type of payroll where they have like the best players in Juventus or Napoli, but he's won He's won a Coppa Italia, a Super Coppa Italia. So for what he has been given, and knowing that Lotito doesn't spend a lot of money as well, has been great on his part. And it's unfortunate when you hear Inzaghi out, and it's like, okay, so you take out Inzaghi, and who do you bring in now? Who is going to replicate the results that this man has done for this team? As a player and as a coach, it's been amazing. Like, look at Milan. Milan's struggling to find that coach now that has been able to bring the team back to what it was over almost a decade now. It's been a decade since they've seen the glory days. So I just think that he's done a great job, and good on him. And I think what's benefited him is going through the Primavera and understanding what it takes to become a coach and learning how to play with the young players as well, adapting them with older players as well.
So I guess Milan has to get Simone Inzaghi as their new coach, and that's what you're saying.
Well, last season, in the summer, that was the rumor that they wanted Inzaghi and Tade, and I think it was smart that they both declined to go there.
Because
they obviously seen that the project was a failure, and look at it now. Now rumor has it Pioli is going to be going. I like Pioli in the short term. He can fix things, but Pioli is not a coach that can get you in the top four. But if they're going to want to bring Spalletti in, they have to open their pockets and decide if they really want to like pay that much now, or do they want to try to just stay up and not get relegated at this point right now? Because the team has there's just something missing in that team, and I think Gianpaolo made a mistake going there and took on something that he thought he could have done, but obviously he hasn't. But yeah, I think Inzaghi would have made a big mistake leaving Lazio to go to Milan. It would have ruined him.
So speaking,
the team's not even designed for a 3-5-2. It's designed for a 4-3-3, and that's another thing that would have hurt him.
Yeah. So very well said. I think now going maybe to Inzaghi, just on his philosophy, on his choice of formation, the 3-5-2. Are you, for yourself being a fan of the team, are you a big fan of that formation? Do you think it works maybe only in Serie A? Does it also work in maybe in Europe? Since Lazio's been in the Europa League these past couple of years, what do you make of the formation? And do you think it can bring a team to a new level?
First off, the team has to buy into it. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Like, Conte is the founder of the 3-5-2. He's instilled it, and it takes a lot out of your players. You need to have a lot of wingbacks to instill the 3-5-2. To play like that style, it's hard because every game running up and down, up and down, up and down, hard training in practice, it can really take the energy out of you. So it could be hard on the players. It could cause injuries because it's very demanding. But I think it could be adapted. It just needs the right foundation and the right player. Like with Lazio, it works perfect because if they were to do, I think last year there was rumors that they wanted to switch a formation all the time because there was a period of time that they weren't winning and they thought that the 3-5-2 wasn't working. But the problem is, if you don't have players that can equip to a different formation, how do you switch? So I just think that 3-5-2 can be instilled in other leagues, but you just need to work at it. And it's not a formation that works overnight. And you need to have the right players equipped to actually make it work. With Lazio, they have a lot of wing backs and they have a lot of center backs, so it's perfect. But if they were to switch to a 4-3-3, it'd be really hard.
So now let's put yourself in the dream scenario where you're the manager right now. You have this team. Do you keep players like Luis Alberto and SMS, there were rumors of them leaving this past summer, or are you the type of guy where to keep them and then just do a few tweaking? What would you do?
I wouldn't sell SMS for anything. That's just me, and people might think I'm crazy, but even if I was offered $100 million, that's great. So you sell one of the best midfielders in football, and basically, first off, you need to have the right midfielder to replace him. You don't just sell him just because you want to buy. You want to bring $100 million in and you buy three players that may not even bring half the value of what he's brought to Lazio. And with Luis Alberto as well, the two complement each other. One is a very good box-to-box player in Savic. He's very good defensively, and he has really good passing. Whereas Luis Alberto can get the ball up very nicely forward, and he's good on set plays. So they each complement each other. Like this season, Luis Alberto and Chito Immobile have been great with each other. And like even Savic has been just as great with Chito Immobile. He had a nice pass in the Europa League in the second match. Beautiful pass to him. I feel that the three playing for 4 years now, it's benefited them because they have that foundation, that relationship where they know where they're going to be. They know how each other plays. So if Savic was to leave, it would be a big, big hole in the midfield. It's basically what they work around. Yes, the wing backs they're helpful. They're up and down. They help bring the ball up. But I feel that Lazio really, really drives through the middle of the midfield, and that's where they build their play up. It's always how they've created their style of play.
Anyways, Jerry, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I know you could probably talk about Lazio for hours on end, but I guess we'll have to have you on another time then.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
No, we really appreciate you taking the time for us, Jerry.
No problem.
All right. Ciao.
Thank you, eh?
Thank you. No ciao. Problem.
Bye.
Coming up next on the Calcio Guys, yellow card, red card of the week.
Check out Concordia Store's back-to-school deals. Huge savings on all of your back-to-school essentials, supplies, tech accessories, and Concordia gear. Show your color with the Concordia crew at $24.99 or a $29.99 hoodie. Plus, save 25% on all backpacks. Concordia Stores, find everything you need for school in stores or online at concordiastores.ca.
Dust off your boots, pour some sweet tea, and tune in to the freshest of folk, roots, acoustic, and more, along with some favorites from the past. The best of old and new meet together in The Alley, every Wednesday at 4 p.m., only on CJLO 1690 AM.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
The rest is empty with no brain, but the clever nerd, the best MC with no chain you ever heard.
Welcome back to the Calcio Guys with Gianni Della Colli, Gianni DiNardo. I'm Nicholas Di Giovanni. So as we do every week, we become the referees and we give out yellow cards and red cards. So one card each this week. I'm going to start it off, actually. I'm going to give a red card to Roma's therapist, because it seems as if everybody is getting hurt right now. Who is there? There's Dzeko, Diawara, Zappacosta.
So we got Dzeko, Diawara, Zappacosta, Perotti, Pellegrini, Under, and Mkhitaryan.
That's almost a whole team right there.
Exactly.
You could field them as one.
Yeah, definitely. Position by that's position. Half of the starting roster right there.
That's just you know, obviously there's a lot of misfortune. A lot of times, mm-hmm. Most of the time it is misfortune, but if you have the proper, I believe, I've read books, with the proper training system and proper fitness and health, there's chances to reduce injuries. Not eliminate the injuries, obviously you're never going to eliminate injuries, but maybe now Roma's going to look into spending more money for science and therapy, kind of like what they do at Milanello.
Science.
What is this? Science and sports.
Science. Sports nerds. No, we play soccer here.
But anyways, that's a red card to Roma's staff.
This is going to be a red card, and is that going to change the course of the game?
Giannini.
I'm going to give my yellow card to Milik in that Genk game. He was the guy that Napoli needed to put the ball in the net and get us that 3 points in the group stage. and he wasn't able to capitalize or get the ball in the net. And it wasn't as if he wasn't getting any feet, any proper feeds. He was getting those balls. He couldn't put in a net, and I'm disappointed in him. So he's my yellow card.
Surely that's going to be a yellow.
Adria.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's going to be a red card until things change around. Milan in general, from I think top to bottom, deserves a red card.
If you had to give it to one person, though, hypothetically, you're giving it to all of Milan, yes, but if you had to give it to one person, where does the blame lie?
It's tough. As much as it is tough, I think it goes over to management and, Boban Maldini. Both legends of the club, both have done incredible things for Italian soccer. But it kind of lies, from there, because, you're kind of like the brains of the operation, selecting the coach, and now the coach has to work with the players that, you've given him and stuff like that. So I think from top to bottom, it deserves a red card. But if I had to really pinpoint, I don't think, Boban and Maldini should be left off the hook. As much as I love them, but I think things will change. It might not be right now. It might take some time, but for now, at least this week, a red card for Milan.
Could be a red card. The red card is out.
And it's no surprise. Absolutely, it is against the rules.
Okay, I'm going to throw in an honorary red card this week. Let's say this is from all of us.
This guy said honorary.
Honorary red card.
Okay, what is it?
This one's going to go to Inter Milan, because they released a marketing campaign for club membership for fans. It's so funny that I can't stop laughing, because the slogan is "Not for everyone." Oh man. That's the slogan. Not for everyone.
Well, it takes a certain type of person.
Well, I mean, if you're racist, I mean, the club is for you, right? So no, just kidding.
It takes a certain type of person to cheer for Inter. So
if you're a fair weather fan, it's fair weather Inter fan, and you're watching a game, and you see on the advertising boards, "Join now, not for everyone." What are you going to do? Not join.
I don't know.
Maybe.
But I think they had that as their promotion thing, like from the get-go of the season, though.
I think they're trying to go last week.
I think they're going with the mentality that it's like, oh, because we're not for everyone. Look at us. We're the rebels. Yeah, exactly. See, if you're not with us, you're not cool. That's the type of mentality that they have.
Like, it's an exclusive membership, but it's not. It just doesn't make sense, the slogan.
I see where you're coming from, and I'm on your side, but I'm just going to play devil's advocate here for a second, because I like playing devil's advocate sometimes. What's so bad about it? It's just like, oh, see, if you're not on our side, you're not cool, because you're not hip, you're not with it. Inter is hip and with it. But anyways.
I don't know. Brothers of the world, they say, but yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay, so that's a red, honorary red to Inter.
Uh-oh. Another red card is shown.
Perfect soundbite.
You wanted to play that soundbite, didn't you? That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
So badly I could see it in his face.
That's actually from Castillejo's red against Genoa.
Oh, yeah,
it was
a flurry of red cards.
Yeah. Okay. We have 8 minutes, so I want to do MVP and talk about the national team.
Yeah.
Quickly MVPs. Yeah.
I'll go first. I guess I'll go with Gabriel, the goaltender for Lecce. Like I said before, the guy, 14 shots were on target. Yes, he let in three, or it could be 17 shots with four in net. Long story short, the guy faced a good flurry of shots and from solid players, and he tried his best to keep Lecce in there. So even though it's not a most phenomenal stat, it's not very often goalkeepers are tested like that in soccer. So for just putting his fight in there, I give him my MVP of the week.
Major?
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go back to the little bit of the Lecce talk, Immobile. I think, we know he's a good player. I'm a fan of him. Now he's now leading the league with 7 goals of the Capocannoniere race. He scored 2 goals in the first half, which was pretty impressive. Unfortunately, the team broke down after against Bologna. But for me this week, Immobile definitely deserves the nod for MVP.
And I'm going to go for a player I know a lot of people don't like.
I saw this on the doc.
Exactly.
I think I was already fuming.
Leo Bonucci for his performance against Milan. Credit to him. He stepped up big time. Since Chiellini's injury, looks like Adriano's fuming.
Yeah, I'm hot.
I mean, the guy defends racist, but anyways.
Yeah, well, he does a lot of bad things.
Maybe Moise Kean should have scored that penalty shot if he doesn't want the heat.
Yeah. Then high five the ref in the Derby d'Italia.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Whatever, he does a lot of bad things, but he played very well. He shut down Lukaku, and, I just got to give him my MVP. I was thinking about giving Pjanic, too, but I'm going to give it to Bonucci. Transitioning over to the national team.
Yes.
International break we have now.
The Legends, first of all, the Legends played yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You guys saw that?
I didn't get a chance to see it. Who won?
It was 3-3 between...
Germany and Italy.
Yeah, between
Germany that's pretty
Italy.
Solid.
But they came back from 2 goals down.
Yeah, well, what else is new?
But no, it was crazy to see. You know, I know Adriano shared it on our social media.
Yeah.
It's like we have this image of some of these players like Cannavaro, Grosso, Totti.
Zambrotta, Gattuso.
Gattuso played too. Yeah, Gattuso played. And...
Was Di Biagio on the team too?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was on the starting lineup, but he was there.
No, he wasn't on the starting lineup.
And you have this image of them when they were in their prime.
I saw him in the starting lineup.
And then you see them like that yesterday with gray hair and out of shape and their stomachs hanging out of their shirts. And it's just like, wow, you know, they've grown. They've got old since 2006.
Come se fa tanto. Yeah, no, but a funny thing I found on Twitter, our friends there at the Calcio podcast, they shared the picture, and they said maybe for these Legends games they should maybe have looser fitting kits, but you know Puma doesn't do that type of things. But big shout out for that. It was funny to see Gattuso with his pants out. You know, he was rocking that kit. Pretty old school, so it was pretty.
Was he still running around like an extra from the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah, he was about to kill somebody, I think. But anyways.
Grosso actually didn't age that much.
Well, Grosso is kind of young-ish compared to those group of guys.
So how's that baby face, I find.
Yeah. Okay, talking about the modern Italian team, unless they do something special, they'll probably never have a Legends match in the future.
Yeah.
But modern team, they play Greece on Saturday. What are you guys doing on Saturday? You're working, no?
Yeah, I'm working.
Possibly. Unfortunately.
Hey, by the way, Manolas didn't get called up for Greece.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's interesting. So.
Well, you can't say they wanted to save on... travel costs because he would have just stayed in Italy and met them there.
No, but that's just very interesting.
Yeah,
just to say.
That's weird. Pretty much the same team, more or less, from last time. Grifo comes in. El Shaarawy was there last time, I believe.
No, last call-up, he wasn't called up. Remember, we made a point about it.
Oh, yes. Okay, so El Shaarawy and Grifo are coming in. Bernadeschi stays on the team. Insigne is in. He was hurt last time. Spinazzola is in. Obviously, the defense, Izzo, Mancini, Romagnoli, Bonucci. And then there's D'Ambrosio. Di Lorenzo gets a call-up this time. Four goaltenders to Adriano's delight.
Oh, my God.
But, we could finally qualify for Euros.
I think it's just a formality on the goaltending situation. I think the midfield is solid. This is going to be the mid that we're going to be going with for Euros. I know it's not
if we qualify.
It's not into set in stone yet, but it's Liechtenstein and Greece. I mean, I hope they just need to score goals. offense, they're still experimenting around with the players, but we kind of see like a core of forwards. Goaltending, goalini is just a formality. Our 1, 2, and 3 in goalkeepers is Donnarumma, Mere, and Sirigu easily. I would put Mere as number 2 actually. And defense, it's just give or take a few names. Obviously, Chiellini's injured, but he would be there if he wasn't. But I like it is beneficial for Italy. I was about to say Napoli. For Italy, see what happens when I talk about my team too much. For Italy, that Chiellini's injured. No, I'm not saying anything bad about him. Just you get to see these kids play more often.
So tactically, Adriano, quickly, what would you like to see from this team against Greece and Liechtenstein?
Well, first off, the result at the end is all that matters. We know we need the points, we need the win. But I would like, as you mentioned, we also posted about it, Di Lorenzo finally getting a call up. I think it's well deserved. I would like to see him getting in there. We need somebody on the right hand side. I think Zappacosta went down. Florenzi, you know, he's not always on his game, I find. So maybe Di Lorenzo could be that new spark on the right hand side. Offensively, I would like goals. Are we going to go with Belotti? Are we going to go with Immobile for this call up? And hopefully in the future, Balotelli, once he gets going a bit more with Brescia. I like that, you know, Zaniolo's back in there. I think he's exciting. But I think just, you know, from being cohesive from the back from the defense to the midfield, to the forwards, to the back of the net, I think there has to be a cohesiveness there that we've kind of lacked in the past, because I think we have the midfield, the defense. It's the offense, for me, in my personal opinion, that lacks. So if everything could be cohesive, I think this team could go off a long way.
And I found they really struggled without the creativeness of Insigne last time
out. Exactly.
And that'll pretty much do it for us here on The Calcio Guys.
Make sure to follow us on all our social media platforms at The Calcio Guys, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Check us out on, you know, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, all the clouds to, you know,
get Cloud Nine.
Cloud Nine, yeah, and just keep on supporting.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao.
Bye.